Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal TD says the government must ensure there's adequate GP and hospital services in areas with large numbers of asylum seekers. Meanwhile, concerns as a substantial amount of asylum seekers were to be housed in Burnfoot have been allayed. Tourism bodies are being urged to capitalise on a major golf tournament bound for Donegal this summer. And a snow warning remains in place in the northwest until tomorrow evening, with motorists urged to drive with extreme caution. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. First in news, another effort to establish an executive in Northern Ireland has failed. MLAs gathered at Stormont today but were not able to elect a speaker for the Northern Ireland Assembly. The focus now switches to the Northern Secretary, Chris Heaton-Harris, who is legally required to call an election if no executive is formed by Thursday. However, previous deadlines have been missed in the past. Sinn Féin Stormont leader Michelle O'Neill fears the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement are in freefall.
I see it as my duty to fairly stand up for everyone in our society, across all of our communities, and to represent the Northern Ireland Executive as a First Minister for all. Regrettably, though, the approach of the DUP leader is jeopardising vital public services, including health and education.
A Donegal TD says the government must ensure there's adequate GP and hospital services in areas with large numbers of asylum seekers. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar announced yesterday extra resources in health, education and policing will be provided to the 10 areas with the highest concentration of applicants, with Donegal top of that list. Independent Deputy Thomas Pringle says a lack of medical services is the main concern of communities dealing with new international protection applicants, and he says that must be addressed as part of a long-term solution.
We need medical facilities available, we need hospital facilities available, we need teachers to be made available, and those things need to be made available anyway, and the government has to accept that they're not doing that if they want to actually get communities on board. The government needs to get long-term solutions and provide permanent solutions rather than the constant emergency situation that the government has been operating in, which just seems to be endless emergencies rather than actually dealing with the situation and dealing with the problem once and for all.
Well, concerns that a substantial amount of asylum seekers were to be housed in Burnfoot have been allayed. There was much concern in the locality that works were being carried out at a building which had been significantly damaged by flooding in 2017 to facilitate the housing of asylum seekers. A group of residents had written to councillors highlighting their worry over the plans. The owner of the building has since confirmed to councillor Jack Murray that it is destined for private use. He says it again boils down to a lack of communication between government and local communities.
It's the lack of communication from the government departments that makes people concerned, and obviously there's always the unknown. And when there's that absence or vacuum and lack of communication, people start to make up their own minds. People with different stories think different things are interpreted. And quite understandably, people become very, very worried and very apprehensive about what might be about to happen in their community. But in this instance, I just want to reassure people that having spoken to the owner, there is no plans for that building other than for private use.
Meanwhile, there's been a warning that dangerous rhetoric about asylum seekers and refugees could lead to someone being hurt. Migrant rights group NASC says it's seen a rise in baseless claims and is also concerned international protection applicants may fall through the cracks in the system if they become homeless. It comes as the Department of Integration says it has been unable to find accommodation for 601 recent arrivals. NASC CEO Fiona Hurley says people should not believe everything they hear about asylum seekers.
We want to make it really clear that there's no foundation to these myths. These are tactics that have been used by the far right in other European countries to try and divide communities and to scapegoat minority groups. The level of intimidation that we've seen with the increase in arson attacks, it's very scary for people, and we're worried that going forward someone will be seriously hurt.
Irish farmers have welcomed the resumption of beef exports to China. The market was closed to Ireland after a case of atypical BSE or mad cow disease was detected last November in a dead 10-year-old cow. Regaining access to China came following a meeting between Agriculture Minister Charlie McConlogue and Chinese Premier Li Qiang. Francie Gorman, the IFA president, hopes trade will now resume as quickly as possible.
The checks and balances and the traceability system we have here has stood up to scrutiny, and I'd like to see the market opened ASAP. You know, we're a beef producing country, and we need, especially with the knock-on effects of trade deals that Britain are doing with the rest of the world, we need to see as many markets as open as possible.
Tourism bodies are being urged to capitalise on a major golf tournament bound for Donegal this summer. Ballyliffin Golf Club will host the R&A Amateur Championships in June, with coverage of the event set to be broadcast to 500 million viewers worldwide. Councillor Martin McDermott says the opportunity must be seized by tourism groups in Donegal to promote the county to its fullest. He says it's vital all efforts are centred on making the event a success, with the prospect of Ballyliffin hosting the Open on the cards.
The last time we had an opportunity like this was when the Irish Open came to Ballyliffin. Now we have practically the same opportunity again, where the RNA and the Amateur Championship from the 7th of June this year will be in Ballyliffin for 2 weeks. And part of that will be televised live in Sky Sports for 4 or 5 days to 500 million viewers worldwide. That is something that you don't get every day. It's something that I think that we can grab that opportunity here, particularly in Inishowen and particularly here in Donegal. But I think that, you know, all the tourism operators, Falch Ireland, Donegal Tourism, Go Visit Inishowen, all those organisations, I think, should come together now with Ballyliffin and with Donegal County Council and play a major part in this and really grab that opportunity to showcase both Inishowen and Donegal worldwide.
Because the economic benefit of this in the short term while the tournament is here, but the long term also, as you mentioned, in the promotion of the county is massive.
Absolutely, because this could have major implications for the future, because, as you know, the Royal Portmarnock is bidding for the Open to come to Ireland, and the Open will be coming to Ireland within the next probably 5 or 6 years. But Ballyliffin is also bidding for that, and Ballyliffin is in a perfect place to host a major tournament like that. It would be game-changing for Donegal. It would be game-changing for the North West.
A Donegal deputy says there is a worry that Ireland will become the go-to place for international fraudsters if government doesn't enact a protection system for citizens. The Compliance Institute has found that hacking, phishing, online scams and fraud are the top financial crime threats in Ireland. Deputy Pearce Doherty says he raised the issue at the latest Donegal Joint Policing Committee, as victims are being scammed all over the North West. He believes a name cross-checking system, which has been effective for Britain and the Netherlands, should be rolled out in Ireland.
The banks need to do a lot more, and they need to set up a proper payment systems check like they have in Britain, like they have in Netherlands, that actually helps protect people when they're paying money to what would be fraudulent individuals.
That name checking system seems like a simple solution to what is a massive problem.
Yeah, look, it's very basic, you know, and but the question is why do we still not have it? It's practical, it's effective, it's in Britain now for a number of years, it's in the Netherlands for a number of years, and what it does is it forces the banks to set up a system that they check the name of the person that the victims are sending money to, and they check that name is the same name on the account. So some people are thinking that they're paying a bill maybe to ESB or to Anpost, or that they're paying a different bill that somebody that they may know, and it's up to the banks to actually say, is that actually going to the entity that I think it's supposed to go to, or is it going to a scammer? And this is just one of the ways. This is always going to be a cat and mouse game between ourselves and those that are involved in online fraud and scams. But the reality is we're losing this fight because both hands are tied behind our backs, because the government doesn't have an economic crime strategy. They still won't let banks and Gardaí share information, and we don't have banks stepping up to the marks or social media companies being held to the account, as is happening in other jurisdictions. We're way behind the curve here, and that's why banks are actually saying, and the representatives are saying, that Ireland could become the go-to area for these international criminals.
Members of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District have called on the government to provide funding to keep the Child and Adolescent Counselling Service in the Rafoe Pastoral Centre continue running. It emerged this week that the service, which is predominantly voluntary, requires a full-time director, but despite requests, neither Tusla nor the HSE are prepared to offer the money to allow that happen. The service now faces potential closure in March. Donegal County Council says it is to contact Bishop Al McGuckian to offer support. The issue was raised at the latest meeting of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District by Councillor Michael McBride.
The first thing I have to say, you know, I think that counselling service is vital to this whole county and particularly to the community, you know, and around Letterkenny. They've been there for 30 years. And they've been supported by the Bishop and Tusla and the HSE. And the figure involved we're hearing today is, and in the meeting, is about €60,000. And when we hear what the waiting lists are and how many people are currently availing of that service, it's the best value for money that you could possibly get on that field. And I've known people myself that have used that service in the past. And, you know, when we think about where we are with so many foreign nationals coming into our country and we've got the makeup problem here to deal with and everything, I don't think we ever needed counselling services as much as we do now. And we would be failing as a county council if we didn't give the most support and use any political leverage that we've got for to try and get the funding for to keep that service in place.
Groups representing family carers are calling for the wording in the upcoming referendum to be changed to place more responsibility on the state to provide supports. Family Carers Ireland and Access for All are among those calling for different wording to hold the state accountable for providing supports to carers. TDs are today debating the wording of two referendums taking place on March the 8th. Catherine Cox from Family Carers Ireland says they'll be supporting both referendums but thinks that some changes need to be made.
That article will, first of all, put a recognition and value on family care and the care that families provide to loved ones in their own homes. And secondly, it says government will strive to support that care. Now, we did look for that wording to be stronger and we looked for oblige rather than strive, but we are where we are today. We still feel that this is a very positive platform for us to influence further change.
Donegal County Council's environment team has confirmed drones are now being used to tackle illegal dumping. They've also confirmed efforts are continuing to restore cameras beside waterways which had to be withdrawn because of GDPR concerns. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In a report presented to members at municipal district meetings this week, the environment team says waste and litter staff have been trained, licences are in place and drone work is now in progress. The team says this has been done in association with the Connaught Ulster Waste Enforcement Regional Lead Authorities, with environment staff now set to share what they've learned with colleagues in other local authorities. The Connaught Ulster Werda is also working with Inland Fisheries Ireland to restore cameras along waterways. Cameras were previously rolled out but had to be withdrawn as a result of GDPR concerns. The Environment Section's report confirms the Council received and spent €107,000 in anti-dumping initiative funding last year. The money was used to provide resources for community groups and fund bulky waste projects. The money was also used to support cleanups, signage, cameras and containers.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the big winter sale is now on. Get 30% of all the official Donegal GAA Peak range. Also great savings on runners and leisure wear, in store and online.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with football. Donegal man Mark Coyle has been named the new club captain of Shelburne for the 2024 season. The 26-year-old midfielder has been an integral part of the Reds since joining from Finn Harps during the close season of 2022. Coyle made a significant impact last season as the Reds secured a fourth-place finish in the League of Ireland that was their highest since 2016.
It's been surreal, to be honest. Obviously, I'm hugely honoured and proud. The family proud as well. As I said, it's a huge honour to be captain of this huge football club.
Did you see it coming?
No, I probably didn't allow myself to get ahead of myself in that sense. Either way, if I got it, if I didn't get it, it wasn't going to change who I am and how I approach this season and the work I put in this year. It's always going to be the team first for me and make sure that I'm at the best of my abilities for the team.
A trip to Liverpool awaits the winner of tonight's FA Cup third round replay involving Bristol Rovers and Norwich. League One Blackpool play Nottingham Forest with the winners away to Bristol City in round four. And a home tie with Luton Town awaits the winners of the All-Premier League clash of Everton and Crystal Palace. Jordan Henderson is close to ending his short stay in Saudi Arabia. The former England captain is expected now to complete a move from Al Tawfiq to Ajax in the Dutch League. Michael Harris has signed a new contract with Irish League Championship Contenders Institute. The convoy man has scored 7 goals since his move to Stoot from Finn Valley in July, or from Finn Harps, excuse me, in July. Now to rugby. Peter O'Mahony is the new Ireland captain. The Munster flanker will lead out the team when the Six Nations begins in Marseille next month. Kieran Frawley, Jack Crowley and Harry Byrne are the 3 out halves who are now vying to replace Jonathan Sexton. There are 6 Ulster players in the squad, with wing Jacob Stockdale recalled after missing out on World Cup selection. Lock Ian Henderson, centre Stuart McCluskey and prop Tom O'Toole retain their places, while hooker Tom Stewart is named after Rob Herring suffered a significant elbow injury in training this week. Ulster back row Nick Timoney, who last played for Ireland in 2022, also earns a recall, as does Leinster wing Jordan Lamar and Leinster prop Cian Healy, who missed the World Cup because of injury. In the absence of Antoine Dupont, Gregory Aldrit will captain France during the Six Nations competition. Fabien Galtier has named 5 uncapped players in his Six Nations squad. To Sigerson Cup GA action, ATU Donegal are back in action this evening. The Letterkenny College meet MTU Cork at Abbottstown in Dublin. Both sides lost their opening games last week. The season will be over for whoever loses tonight. Donegal players Rory O'Donnell, Oisin Caulfield and Luke McGlynn could feature again for ATU, but Jason McGee is definitely out. Here's ATU manager Maxi Kern.
We're having to go without our captain Jason McGee again. Got injured in the McKenna Cup against Tyrone and probably picked up another couple of injuries last week against UL. You know, it's the time of year is, you know, you're asking boys to play that maybe haven't got a lot of preparation done on. You know, injuries are easily picked up, and you know the difficulty against teams in this competition is if you have 6, 7, 8 county players, you know, the fitness levels of those guys are very high compared to the guys that are just coming off their club campaign. So you know, you do pick up the injuries quite a bit. And look, we have a few from the last day, but look, I think we're pretty much as we were apart from maybe Alan Pasoma, who got injured, and as I said, Jason, who was missing anyway. So look, I think we've the same deck to play from as we had last week. And you know, we disappointed with the end result for sure, but it was the first outing in Sigerson for a lot of those boys. So you know, they have to experience what it's like to play championship football on a Wednesday night in January, and you know, it's a strange experience for them. So I suppose they should be a wee bit more accustomed to it now, and I don't think MGU maybe it's just us to give it at the level of UL. So look, it's a game we've full hopes for.
7:45 is the start game to that match tonight in Abbottstown. Also this evening, DCU are facing SETU Carlow. Now, if DCU lose that game, they will be relegated to the Trench Cup. Donegal players Shane O'Donnell, Jimmy Grant and Johnny McGrody are part of the DCU side. ATU Sligo will face University Galway, and ATU Galway are taking on the defending champions UCC. Monaghan stalwart Kieran Hughes has announced the end of his inter-county career. Hughes, who turns 34 next month, retires after a 15-year inter-county career, which began in the McKenna Cup in 2009. He went on to help Monaghan take 2 Ulster titles in 2013 and 2015. On the tennis front, defending champion Novak Djokovic needed 4 sets to see off world number 43 Alexei Popperin at the Australian Open today. Djokovic will play Thomas Martin Echeverry in round 3. Women's 6th seed Anna Schubert lost in straight sets to 16-year-old Mira Andreeva, but the defending champion Arna Sabalenka is through, as is 4th seed Coco Gauff. They both advanced to round 3 without dropping a set. And in hockey, Ireland's men have a must-win game this evening in their quest for Olympic qualification. They need to beat Japan and Valencia to claim a semi-final place at the qualifying tournament. Pushback there is 6:15 Irish time. And that's your sport for today, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, a snow warning remains in place in the northwest until tomorrow evening. The Stanish Yellow Alert runs in Donegal, Leitrim, Sligo and Mayo until 6 p.m. tomorrow. There's also a national low temperature warning until midday tomorrow. Significant funding has been awarded to Awake Tourism to develop an arts centre in Ardragh. The money will go towards renovating 2 derelict buildings and aid in the ongoing rejuvenation of the town. Chairman of Awake Tourism, Stephen McCahill, says the focus now will be on obtaining planning permission.
We're looking at a centre that would be fit to accommodate the arts, have events there. We have 12 festivals a year, so we have to facilitate that in some way, and we have to do it in a professional manner. So that's what we're doing now. The next stage now will be to apply for through the council again. We'll be applying for an assessment, a study. A bit of research and study, and then obviously planning to see what will be involved in development centre there. So that takes quite a bit of work, but that's next stage now, Donna, and we're very pleased about it.
Weather now. Tonight will be very cold with widespread frost and icy stretches, mostly dry with clear spells and patches of fog and freezing fog with some wintry showers. Lowest temperatures of -4 to -1 degree. The closing headlines this evening, there's concern from Sinn Féin that Stormont will never return. Northern politicians were met at Stormont buildings today for the latest formal attempt to restore power sharing, which failed. Concerns that a substantial amount of asylum seekers were to be housed in Burnfoot have been allayed. There was much concern in the locality that works were being carried out at a building which had been significantly damaged by flooding in 2017 to facilitate the housing of asylum seekers. A Donegal deputy says there is a worry that Ireland will become the go-to place for international fraudsters if government doesn't enact protection systems for citizens. The Compliance Institute has found that hacking, phishing, online scams and fraud are the top financial crime threats in Ireland. And Donegal County Council's environment team has confirmed drones are now being used to tackle illegal dumping. They've also confirmed efforts are continuing to restore cameras beside waterways which had to be withdrawn because of GDPR concerns. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, January 17th. The death has taken place of Desi Keeney, Barrack Lane, St Mary's Road, Buncrana. His remains will be removed from McLaughlin's funeral home, Lower Main Street, Buncrana, at 6 p.m. this evening, going to his niece Adele Noon's residence at Omri Cam, Buncrana. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:30, going to St Mary's Oratory for 10 a.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary McCafferty, Knock Ballybuffet. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Sessionnil, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Rosary each night at 9 o'clock. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish YouTube channel. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of John Sandilands, The Lag, Milford. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.